Let's dive in.
Yeah, all right. Welcome to another episode of Comics Unlimited, which is the show where someone, usually me, reads a comic. I'm your host, Matt Schmidt, and then talks about it with someone who hasn't necessarily read it. And with me today is my lovely wife, Haley Schmidt. And Haley, what are we talking about today?
Hawkeye. The Matt exactly. Fraction Hawkeye.
It's almost like a TV show is coming out that's somewhat related to this.
Almost.
So me and a bunch of other YouTube podcast people are probably going to be talking about this book. So we might as well just glom onto that metadata and traffic and see what we can get out of it.
Perfect.
So yeah, how excited are you for the show? Let's set it up.
Not at all.
And why is that? Why not?
One, I've never thought Hawkeye was that interesting.
Okay.
Based on what I know of him from the Avengers movies, and that's the only thing I know of Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Christmas series, which I can go 50-50 on, but this just seems like cheesy.
Okay.
That's which sounds dumb because like even cheesy Christmas can be good. So yeah. I don't know. Just seeing it just seems lame.
You just want to think it's lame, so you're just projecting that it's lame onto
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
All right. Because I love the Christmas feel it has to it. It's like a silly Christmas adventure. That seems like fun, right?
Yeah. I don't.
That's what.
I don't know.
It's Hawkeye saving potentially a neighborhood and people, and there's a bunch of violence going on. But with like
Jeremy Renner's in a hokey Christmas comic book show.
Yeah.
That feels like a Mad Lib.
No. It's comics.
It seems weird. Based on that, I'm not saying anything based on the comic. I will just based on the show, based on the trailer for the show, it seems weird, and I'm not interested.
Okay. Well, it's
maybe the comic will make me more interested, so maybe that's can be a task for you today.
Okay.
Fair enough. I'm not excited about the show.
Okay, fair enough, and that's fine. Let's get back to the first thing you said, which is very true. You didn't care about Hawkeye. Seems boring or just uninteresting.
Yeah, based on the Avengers movies, they could have done all of the movies without Hawkeye, I think, and I don't think they would change.
And you're probably right. Like, his first appearance in the MCU was in Thor, where he just grabbed a bow and arrow and then was like, give me the word and I'll shoot him. They said, no, I want to see what happened. And that was it. That was his introduction. Yeah. So Hawkeye in the MCU, really hasn't been anything special. In the comics, guess what? Same thing. he has been...
I wasn't expecting you to say that.
Yeah. He's been a...
That's fair.
A joke in the comics. Always an afterthought. Because he's a human, like a regular person who can shoot bows and arrows standing next to, Iron Man, Captain America, all these superpower people. He's been a running joke for a while. In the comics, he wears the costume with the pointy. Have you seen that before? They haven't done it in the movies, so.
Oh, okay. Yes, I have seen that.
He died at one point in the comics.
He died and no one cared.
Like, I don't want to say no one cared, but he was expendable.
Sure.
And
maybe that's the franchise for him.
The Expendables. So he died and he was, brought back because everyone in comics always comes back to life. But this comic came out in 2012. That's when it started. Written, as you said, by Matt Fraction, whose real name is Matt Frickman. Frickman. F-R-I-T-C-H-M-A-N.
Frickman.
So there you go. Pen name Matt Fraction. He did, I don't know if it was before or after, but he did Invincible Iron Man, which was pretty good. Iron Man in the comics is not very good. That run was pretty good. I don't remember if it was before or after. But then he did Immortal Iron Fist, which was very popular. So then I guess he was kind of given, here's Hawkeye, do something interesting with Hawkeye. Because guess what? It's 2012, an Avengers movie is coming out. So maybe we should have an interesting... We've barely done anything with Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Let's do something with that. So he's one of the worst Avengers characters, whatever. This comic, in my opinion, is amazing. And not really just my opinion. Like, it's widely considered one of the best comics ever written. Especially for Hawkeye, too. Like, his best comic ever.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes it fun is it's kind of like an isolated event. Like, the whole running thing with it is it's Hawkeye when he's not being an Avenger.
Okay.
So when he's not hanging out with all the big-time superheroes, like, this is what he's doing in his mm-hmm. life. So it's a little different, a little more isolated, a little more character-driven. And there's even a couple times where he gets called by the Avengers to go on a mission, and they barely show it. He gets a call, and then it's cut scene,
yeah.
and it's the end of that mission, and it's him talking to...
And then he comes back, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah, okay. So it starts out with him falling out of a window and just internal thought of, this isn't good, this is gonna hurt.
Seriously, no, I was gonna ask, because I flipped through the first, like, volume here, and I think in every single issue he says, this looks bad.
Exactly.
This, like, is gonna be bad. Yeah, this looks terrible.
Because you're a normal person who does all these crazy things.
Yeah, good point.
So
yeah.
You're probably getting hurt a lot. So, yeah, it starts out with him falling out a window and going to the hospital, and it quickly sets up that he's kind of a jerk. You know, when he's getting walked out of the hospital, he kicks the wheelchair into traffic because he's just like, I don't want to be in this wheelchair, but the hospital makes him sit in the wheelchair because it's policy.
Yeah.
So he, like, kicks it into traffic and pisses people and doctors off. And also with this comic, there's some time jumping in it, which, you know, I'll do my best to explain, but it reads better than explaining. So just an FYI on that, because it's him kicking a wheelchair into traffic, and then the very next panel is him putting a dog on a vet, like,
yeah.
counter, and just being yeah. like, fix this dog. And you end up figuring out why that happens, but, like, that's a time jump, basically. Mm-hmm, so then you okay. keep reading to figure out what happened. So the story on this is Clint is living in this apartment. It's kind of a rundown apartment building, and it's owned and kind of ran by this gang, the Tracksuit Gang, and a running gag with them is they say bro all the time. It's bro. Come on, bro. What up, bro?
Yeah.
Come
bro, on, bro. Get that, bro. It's one sentence right there.
Exactly. Yep. So, yeah, that's kind of a running thing that they just say bro all the time. But mm-hmm. basically, they're raising rent on everyone in the building two or three times, and the neighbors are all complaining, like, come on, what's going on? And Clint basically looks over the contract and is like, yeah, they have the right to do it. Sorry. You know, he still has a conscience, so he eventually he's planning on going to this gang to basically offer up, like, he's going to pay rent for everyone in the neighborhood. He kind of comes around and he's like, okay, I want to help people out. So he dresses up because he thinks he's going to meet these people at, like, they run an underground casino. So he's thinking he's got to dress up nice. So he puts on the suit and tie and everything. And then he enters and everyone's wearing wife beaters and tank tops. It's a complete underground. He's like, oh, guess I overdressed for this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a bag of money, offers it up. I'm going to pay for everyone's rent. Basically, their answer is like, no, bro. Don't want your money, bro. what makes you think that we want money? So it's, like, established, like, they're just raising rent to kick everyone out.
Gotcha.
He ends up getting in a fight with them and then throwing the more money at them and just being like, okay, I'm just buying the building from you.
Where does he have his money? Well, like, where does he have his money?
He's an Avenger.
From the Avengers?
Yeah, like, he gets paid.
The Avengers get paid?
They do, which is actually a weird thing to talk about because, like, Tony's rich, so he kind of pays them. But it's funny because I was actually brought up in the Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
It was brought up in that show that Tony actually doesn't pay them in the MCU. And that was a big point of contention for people, like, just who read comics and watch the show. They're like, Tony never paid them?
Hmm.
But yeah, so, like, he gets kind of paid to be, and, like, he barely does anything, right? Like, he has raggedy clothes and bows and everything. Like, he doesn't spend money on anything, so he just has a bunch of money.
Okay.
And he beats them
frugal.
All. Yeah, exactly. He's frugal. So he beats all these people up, and he's basically like, I'm buying the building from you. just deal with it. I'm not taking no for an answer. Shut up and leave. And the dog, this gang had a dog that Clint, whenever he'd walk by, he'd give it a piece of pizza and feed it.
Yeah.
And when they start beating him up more, the dog actually defends Clint. So mm-hmm. the dog attacks essentially his owners, and then they kick the dog into the middle of the street, into traffic, and then Clint tries saving it but can't, so it gets hit by a car. Mm-hmm. And then that's how he ends up with it at the vet and telling the vet to fix this dog now, which they're able to do. And it's one of those hokey things where, yeah, your dog's going to be okay. Collar has his name on here, and it's, oh, what's his name? Arrow. And he's naturally. Oh, okay, we'll come up with a better name than that for you, big guy. So yeah, that's the, you know, it's set up like that. Like, he lives in this apartment building, and he's kind of saving them from this gang.
Yeah. So is that what the first volume is all about?
Not entirely. That's really just the first issue or two. Then you get introduced to Kate Bishop, who is a protege of Clint's in a way. Like, she's, you know, she's going to be in the show. That's who Haley Steinfeld plays.
Okay, that makes sense.
She's, like, the greatest marksman of all time. Like, Hawkeye's been this superhero for a long time, but she's better than him.
Nice.
And knows it. And so, like, that's kind of their relationship. She was raised as a rich, spoiled kid who was attacked as a young person, so that's why she decided to learn how to defend herself. So that's a little bit of her backstory.
Yeah.
But so yeah, and she's been around for a while. This isn't the first comic that she was introduced in or anything like that. It'll be the, like, her introduction in the MCU will be this show, but in the comics, this wasn't her introduction. The second issue, like, you know, I'll summarize it. Basically, she is still kind of rich and has, like, a foot in the door with hoity-toity high society. Mm-hmm. So the two of them decide to go to like a play or something, or this hotel is being opened up. So it's this giant party, just being like, oh, this hotel is being opened up, whatever.
They've got an event for the opening.
Yeah, and there's like, there's apparently going to be a bunch of kind of villains at this thing. So that's why they go, to just be like, oh, keep your ears open for anything that might happen. While they're there, the bad guys get robbed by thieves, and the two Hawkeyes track them down and kind of stop them, you know, stop the thieves from robbing the bad people, which I don't even think they ever give the money back, which is the start of the, like, underground mob getting mad with the Hawkeyes because they're, like, getting in the way of things. They're stopping this building from getting torn down or emptied out, or, you know, they're kind of viewed as robbing them and not giving their money back. Then issue three is one of my favorites, actually, and it's in the trailer for the show, so I know parts of it are going to be there, but it's really funny, and I just like how it's laid out in the comic, because so Clint is just whatever wandering around. He sees this car that he loves. It's like an old school American, you know, red car.
Muscle car.
Yeah. And the owner is this attractive redhead, so he's chatting her up. They end up sleeping together, and then she gets kidnapped. So she's actually tied in with the tracksuit gang, and then Clint goes to try to save her, and Kate's with him. So, it, you know, they end up in the car, the muscle car, outrunning the... What'd you find?
Him jumping naked out of bed, and they just have a Hawkeye logo. Like, old school drawing of Hawkeye over his manhood.
Yep, exactly. Like, it's things like that in this comic that I think are fun, right? Like, it's just a fun read.
Yeah.
But anyway, so...
And the dog's got a slice of pizza as well.
Yeah, he's Pizza Dog. They just call him Pizza Dog. So then, you know, they're in a getaway with the gang because they're trying to kidnap her, and then Clint, you know, kind of rescues her. Meanwhile, this new car, because he tried buying the car off of her, it's, like, getting beat to shit. But as they're getting away, Clint has all these old arrows with him that earlier in the issue, he was complaining that he didn't have organized. So Kate's like, well, just organize them, label them. And that's actually why how he ran into the redhead. Because he was like trying to buy labels to label his arrows. And then he ran into her.
What a nerd.
Yeah, so, well, no, like, he's disorganized. He's trying to get organized. He's a lazy guy. But, so it's just this really funny thing where it's like, what's this arrow do? What's this one? And it's Kate kind of bashed on him because he has one called a boomerang arrow. And she's like, why would you ever need your arrow to, like, come back?
Yeah.
And so I like how in the panels, whenever he uses an arrow, they have, like, a zoom in of the tip of it. Yeah. And it's labeled.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's shooting these random arrows at the cars, you know, behind them. And eventually, you know, it comes to a head where they're just pointing guns and bows and arrows at each other. And then Kate, you know, fires an arrow away from the bad guy. But it was the boomerang arrow, so it comes back and hits the bad guy in the back of the head or whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah, back when
it's just, I don't know, it's just really funny to me. And then the end of volume one is the tape. Which is, it's done by different artists, which I didn't bring up the art, but I love David Aja, I want to say is his name, A-J-A is his last name. He does most of this series, and he did the first three issues, and that's just so good. And not that the rest of the art's bad, but when it's next to his, I just go, oh, I miss his art a little bit. And these next two are not by him, so...
See, I don't really like the art.
No, I love it. I think it's just...
It's...
Perfect.
I mean, it's very different from, like, especially if you think of, like superhero comics, because everyone is so, like, defined and muscly.
Yeah, that's what stuff. I like about it. It isn't super detailed.
Yeah, I would say it's very flat.
Yeah.
So...
That's what I like about it. Like, a bow is just hanging on the wall, and it's just literally an outline of a bow. It isn't all this intricate detail into it. Like,
yeah.
So, I like it. And then the art in these next two issues is just wildly different. It's not bad or anything. It's just very different.
Yeah.
But essentially, the tape, it's a two-issue thing where apparently there's a tape out there that shows Clint killing... or murdering, or assassinating, whatever you want to say, a political figure from you know, years ago. And the Avengers call him, and they're basically like, the tape was stolen. So they have to figure out who stole the tape and how to get it back. And they go to Madripoor, which is like a made-up, a fictional island city, which did show up in the show, Falcon Winter Soldier. And it's basically like a seedy underground world or island.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go there. We get introduced to Madam Mask, who is trying to buy the tape. There's a bunch of supervillains at this auction that are selling the tape. And they're all trying to bid and buy it. And they send Clint there with basically a platinum Amex card of like an unlimited price tag. Like, here, get the tape back. And... he goes, there's a couple twists and turns, like Madam Mask wins the auction, she gets the tape, turns out it was Kate, though, like Kate broke into Madam Mask's hotel room, kidnapped her, and dressed up as her and bid on it, so she actually won
it. Okay.
She watches the tape, and it is Clint killing someone, and she's like, what the fuck, what is this, you said you've never, like, killed anyone, blah, 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 you know... Things ensue, whatever, long story short, is at the end of the day, they get the tape, which, funny thing, they use, the Avengers use tape because they think digital is too easy to steal. Like, if something's on a USB, it's too easy for someone to just download and copy it. If you have a tape, it's, you know, tougher to, which isn't untrue. Like, you know, it's true to an extent, so I think that's kind of funny, but... Basically, in the end, they had made multiple tapes of... It's a fake tape. Clint didn't actually kill them, or didn't kill this political figure. It was, like, they made a tape where it showed Wolverine killing someone and Cap killing someone, and then Hawkeye doing it. And then they're trying to find a mole within S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's basically, like, whosever version of the tape surfaces, they know who is the mole.
Gotcha. Type thing. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, that's which is a really fun. That's a really fun. Like I don't like the art as much, but it's still a really fun story that happens. And then we get a couple one-off issues. Like there's a flood happening in New York, and Clint is helping one of his neighbors, whose name is Grills. His real name isn't Grills, but Clint only knows him as Grills because he has a grill on the roof. So that's what everyone calls him. In fact, in this issue, because they go to get Grills' dad, because he's in his house and he's being stubborn, like, I'm not going to leave, but there's a flood happening, so they're trying to get him out, and there's even a point where Clint's like, oh my god, I don't know his name. What's his name? So yeah, and then at the same time, Kate's like at a high society wedding party, and then she saves the day when the flooding happens there. So there's a couple one-offs there. But then we get to a Christmas issue. It's you know, one or two issues long, which, you know, the show is Christmas again, heavy.
This looks bad. Another issue that starts with him saying, this looks bad.
Yeah, so the Christmas episode is really fun. It's very out of order. There's a date at the top, though, so, like, you can kind of compile it in your head, but, essentially, you know, he's got a neighbor with kids who are, like, Clint, because he is kind of the superintendent now, he bought the building, so his neighbors are like, hey, Clint, this satellite's out or something, my kids want to watch this show, what's going on? He's trying to get it repaired, and the repair guy's like, I'm not going up there. And by the way, there's an arrow through the satellite. So Clint's like, oh, shit.
Yep.
You know, and then it kind of jumps back to how the arrow got there. And it was the tracksuit gang showed up and fought him. And an arrow got loose and, you know, went through the satellite. And then he eventually just lets the kids watch TV on his TV because he doesn't have satellite. So it's just a fun little thing. I like how it opens, too. It opens with Tony Stark is over at his apartment because Clint's trying to set up his TV and everything. And there's a couple fun or cool overhead shots where you just see an overhead view of Clint's apartment. It's like cables running all over the place. And then there's like pictures where it looks like it's from an instruction manual and things like that. So it's just kind of funny. Like, oh, yeah, you get Tony Stark over to maybe help set up your electronics. Eventually, the redhead that he bought the car from shows up again, and she wants Clint's help to steal. She was married to someone in the tracksuit gang that's her connection to it, and then she wants help trying to get a safe out of, like, their headquarters that she has, like, her passports in it and things like that. She wants to leave the country, get away from these guys. So he helps her steal this safe. And it's fun. This is a fun issue, too, because as the issue is going on, you get these random covers of these comics. And you're just like, what? Like, what is this? Like,
you know, his first one says, like, doomed love.
Yeah, and they're comics that she has.
Okay.
And throughout the issue, she's like, Clint.
But it's Clint and the redhead, like, on the cover of all of them.
Yeah, but they're comics that she has, and she keeps yelling at Clint, like, don't touch those comics. Like, don't touch them. And anyway, they steal the safe, they get it back, and she comes to Clint's apartment, and he's, like, reading those comics.
Yeah.
She's like, no, they're out of order! And he goes, I'm sorry, I wanted to read them. She's like, no, the combo to the safe is the order that the comics are in, their issue number, and now they're out of order, and I don't know it. But that you, as the reader, know the combo, because you get the covers.
Because they keep, putting them in there.
So it's kind of a fun thing, you know, it's like, you're engaged, like, you're part, like, you know, like, you could give it the info to them, but, like, obviously you can't. So it's kind of a fun little thing that you're engaged on. The tracksuit gang and the underground mob in general, like Kingpin, all these other people, they're starting to get fed up with Clint because they have plans for this building that he is, like, taken over, essentially. And they hire a contract killer, or like they hire someone out to try to kill Clint. His name is the Clown. He's got this white mask with this little teardrop on it.
Yep.
And
I just found him.
Yep. So he gets introduced at the end of an issue where Clint's trying to come up with a letter to write his ex-wife, who's Spider-Woman, Jessica. And when Grill gives him some advice and Clint leaves, Grill gets killed.
Ooh, okay.
And that's the introduction to the Clown. And we get an issue that's backstory on him. It's whatever. Like, he troubled past, becomes a contract killer, whatever. And I think it's the last issue of Volume 2 is an issue that is completely from the perspective of Lucky the dog. Which is awesome.
It's really cool.
Yeah, which I love. It's kind of a quick read because there's not a lot of words in it, but I love how it's basically infographics build out his idea of each person. Right? So it's kind of this little adventure for Lucky. So he's going up and down the apartment, whatever. He shows or introduces us to a character that will pop up later on in the comic, which is kind of cool. So you're kind of getting things, like new information, but from his perspective.
Because it says pizza dog in pizza is my business.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the title of it.
Yep. So, and then, you know, there's little footsteps in these, like, blueprint-ish layouts of the apartment because that's, like, he can smell maybe where someone was, right? So he goes up to the roof and sees that Grills was killed and, you know, sniffs on where the bad guys would have been. That's what we actually get introduced. He finds and introduces us to Barton, which is Clint's brother.
Mm.
He's getting beat up by the tracksuit gang in this alleyway.
Barney is?
Yeah. And even Lucky, the infographic for him is like this infographic of Barney, and then below it is Clint, and it's like equals or question mark. Like, yeah. They look the same, but that's not him. So yeah,
it's like what the first time Miles like saw your brother.
Yeah,
and he's kind of like, Dad, no, Dad, no.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's basically how...
He looks similar, but it's not the same.
Exactly. So that's kind of how Lucky the dog has seen Barney. So, who's been in comics before, this isn't his introduction. Okay. But, you know, it's how he's being introduced in this run. And then the...
I think one thing that I really like with the dog, issue is that whenever Clint or Kate or whoever that he knows is, like, talking, like, in the word bubbles, it scribbles unless the dog, like, understands a word.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it says, like, Clint, Kate, collar.
Yeah, yeah. Like, words a dog might know.
Up.
So, which, you know, the issue, they're fighting. Kate and Clint are arguing about something, which you kind of find out what it is later on, but you're basically seeing it from Lucky's perspective. So, yeah, Kate basically walks out on Clint. And then the issue ends with her calling for Lucky. So then he, like, runs to her. And then we find out she's basically leaving New York and going to L.A. And then she's taking the dog with her.
Whoa.
So, and then this is where the trade paperbacks get a little, I don't know, wonky is the best term. But during the normal run, they alternated between issues with Clint in New York and Kate in L.A. They alternated. But the trade paperbacks just collected the Kate 4 or 5 into one. So it's issue, like, I think it's the even number. So it's issue, like, 12, 14, 16, 18. And then volume 4 are the odd number ones where it's Clint. So it isn't in reading order, but it's like they just collected them together.
So that's why this one is called L.A. Woman.
Yep.
Because it's all of Kate's.
Yep, which is, you know, she goes out to L.A., she becomes a P.I., she, cool. You know, makes new friends, runs into Madam Mask again, and...
I like how the color palette is, like, very California.
Yeah, so all of this art is not David Aja, it's someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool, like, if it's from a different character perspective and in a different location, that makes sense. But yeah, she runs into Madam Mask again and, uncovers and solves a couple local crimes for some new friends. But she ends up going back to New York because she finds out that Madame Mask is working with someone on trying to kill Clint. So then she goes back to New York to help him out or warn him. And then the last couple issues are, it kind of, again, it jumps back to kind of a little before Kate went to L.A. and then while she's there. But Barney comes to Clint's door, like they interact. Barney ends up staying with Clint in his apartment and was there when Kate walked out and left and took Lucky with her. Then we get an issue that's kind of a backstory on Barney, which had been established, but I think it's like, this is Hawkeye, which no one really knew anything or cared about, and this is his brother, so people probably really didn't know a whole lot about him. So basically, they're raised by an alcoholic dad. Dad and mom died in a car accident because their dad was drunk driving. They get raised by carnies. That's where their bow and arrow skills come from.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of that backstory in there, but it's kind of funny. The first issue with Barney, you find out why he was getting beat up by the tracksuit gang, and it was literally like he's kind of a hobo-ish guy, and they're like wanting to beat him up. And he goes, "You can beat me up for a dollar, or like for $5, you can beat me up," you know,
okay.
Shit like that.
Yeah.
And then they're gonna stiff him, and then he kind of beats them up a little bit. But mm-hmm. So yeah, that's why he was getting beat up. There's an issue before Kate leaves where they go to Grill's funeral. Clint brings Barney up to the roof where Grill's dad is there helping them, like kind of taking his son's place and grilling food for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then Barney gets introduced to one of his neighbors who he kind of ends up having a relationship with later on down the road. But issue 14 is another time kind of jump thing where it's in the middle of a fight with Clint and the tracksuit guys. But that's when it kind of gets revealed. It's a real estate play is why they want the building. So like, because they own everything around it. They want to tear the building down, put up, you know, a new flashy building. They realize that Clint doesn't legally own the building. So they keep going there to try to fight him. And he basically has to start fighting people off. And Barney and Clint get, you know, in another fight with them, and they get shot. Barney gets shot in the leg, Clint gets shot in the ear, so he gets deafened, and then Barney gets put in a wheelchair mm-hmm. for the remainder of this series, at least. So then, the issue after that, which I think, you know, after Kate's stuff, I think it's issue 19, that is another interesting issue where it's almost completely in sign language.
Yeah, I know.
Because he is deaf.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting. You know, basically the point of the issue is Barney and Clint are fighting each other because Clint doesn't want to talk. Barney says, like, "I know there's something going on." And at the end of the issue, Clint just decides to, "I'm going to defend this apartment building with my life. People who want to help out can stay, otherwise everyone else should go," is basically, you know, what it boils down to. So the last two issues are just one final battle, I guess, between the tracksuit gang and the people in this apartment building. And issue 21, this is 22 issues long, by the way, issue 21 ends with Clint sees Pizza Dog is there, which means mm-hmm. that Kate is there.
Yeah.
So then she kind of comes in and helps save the day and fights off the tracksuit gang. Barney, his brother, steals all of his money and then leaves with Clint's neighbor who he fell in love with to like a remote island or something like that. So Clint's kind of pissed about that, but... So that's kind of the ending. Though the very end is the underground mob, like mobsters, like Kingpin, everyone else agree that we're going to kill both Hawkeyes, Kate and Clint, because of what they've done to us. So I don't know how that gets followed up in issues after this Matt Fraction run, but that's they decide on that. And then Clint's wearing an ear pierce, or not ear pierce, ear earpiece so he can hear, like a hearing aid.
Yeah.
So, and then Kate and him start just practicing bow and arrow. So that's how it ends. Oh, and while Kate's in L.A., she finds out that her dad is working with all these villains, like all these mobsters.
Yeah.
So she finds that out. So he's actually one of the votes that says, yeah, we need to kill them. And one of them's his daughter. So
wow.
I'm not sure how it's followed up, but that's what it's just essentially this story on Hawkeye protecting this apartment building, sometimes being a shitty person, but a good guy too. You know, me summing it up like this probably doesn't do justice on how fun it is to read, because there's just a lot of funny back and forth between Clint and Kate and all these other characters. And it's just this really, like, interesting issues, like the one from Lucky's perspective and all that stuff. There's running gags, too, which, you know, they get called back, which is kind of funny. Like, both Kate and Clint just get called Hawkeye all the time. Because it's like,
it just, what it sounds like.
Yeah, it gets misheard. So even when she's in LA, she's, oh, you're the female Hawkeye. And she's just like, no, whatever. So there's a lot of stuff like that happens that, like, I think people should just read it and, like, experience it because it's a lot of fun. But yeah, I just think it's just fucking awesome. It's just so good. Like, it's just a really good read.
So how do you think it's going to translate to the TV show?
Yeah, it's going to be different, right? Like, he's the single hobo-ish character in this, and he is married with kids, and, you know,
in the MCU.
Yeah, in the MCU, and he isn't quite as broken like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not, because in the show, it makes it seem like his stint as Ronin during the blip is what's causing these issues in the show. So I'm not sure. Like, I don't know if an apartment building is going to be involved. It might, because there are scenes in the trailer where he's in a rundown building and, you know, catching a bottle that's on fire and throwing it back out a window. But I'm not entirely sure. I think there's going to be just scenes, like, kind of callbacks to this comic, like the car chase, where that could fit in almost any story.
Yeah.
But it's going to be the same, where they're arguing about, what kind of bow is this? What is this?
Mm-hmm.
And then the dog is going to be in the show. He's in the trailer. So, like, maybe there's a partial episode from his point of view.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of callbacks. I think the tracksuit gang will probably be in it. Like, they'll be maybe the villains behind it, but their motivation or things like that are probably going to be changed a little bit because it's got to fit in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm still excited for it because Jeremy Renner, he's a good actor, but he's been funny before in Tag. Did you see Tag? Like, he's funny.
He is.
It's going to be different. Like, he's a different Hawkeye, but I think he can still be funny.
Yeah.
You know, and Hailee Steinfeld can be funny, obviously, as well. Like, she's a great actress, too. So, yeah. I think she's gonna, like, Kate Bishop's kind of a ditz. Like, ditz is too strong, but, like, I don't know. Like, she's gonna be somewhat like that, and I think Hailee Steinfeld will play that off pretty well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited. And it's gonna be a little different, too, because the whole show is gonna take place during Christmas, and that's really, like, two issues in this.
Yeah.
But I love that idea, though, of it taking place, like, over that, just this crazy, not crazy, but, like, this kind of condensed action story that Clint and Kate are on, but the backdrop is, like, Christmas. Like, I think that sounds fun.
I mean, we haven't had anything like that in the MCU. Like, nothing holiday-focused that I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, none of the movies would do that.
Yeah.
And the only shows have been Hawkeye, Loki, and Winter Soldier. So, yeah, this would probably be the first one where it's kind of built around a holiday. Or with a lot of themes. WandaVision had Halloween in there, I guess, for an episode or two.
Mm, yeah.
But for the entire show to kind of be the backdrop of Christmas is a little different. So, And this will be like Jeremy Renner will be done after this. It's like a lot of the MCU stuff lately has been kind of passing the torch. Like Black Widow, okay. Scarlett Johansson, you're done. Florence Pugh, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Captain America, oh, Chris Evans, you're done. Sam Wilson, or not Sam, but Anthony Mackie, you're Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kind of some of that. Spider-Man's the new Iron Man. So I think it'll be kind of like, okay, Kate Bishop, you're Hawkeye now. Jeremy Renner's done. So
awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited. So
cool. Do you want to give a plug for, I kind of mentioned this just before we started, but I think it's really cool you're able to pick all these up at the library.
This is something I want to plug on here from now on, if you know, when I'm able to. But, yeah, for people who have issues or, like, comics cost a lot of money. They can. This is 4 volumes, which each one's probably $15 retail. Or something close to that.
$17 in the back here.
And there's 4 of them. Like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But comics are, like, this is fun and a really good read. An easy way to do it is to go to your library.
Yeah.
Like, that I never thought of until recently. I don't know why. But that's my plug for this. Is like, this episode is brought to you by Impossible. Because of...
By
the public library. And 2 ways to do it, because I wanted to get you the paperback, is... You know, the Verona, our local one, Verona Library, only had 1 of them, but you can search their system because they share inventory with, like, the other local libraries. Like, they just, you can put them on hold, and then I got all 4 from 4 different libraries.
Yeah.
And it costs nothing.
Right.
To do it. So, if you want paperback, do that. If you want digital, get the app Hoopla. And then you just, it's free, and you just enter your library card into it, and you can download and read comics digitally on there.
Cool.
Those are two free ways to do it.
Library system.
Yeah, that's a library system. So those are 2 free ways to read comics. And they have a lot, too. I read some new stuff that I wouldn't have thought would be on there digitally on Hoopla.
Yeah.
They're fairly new. They're on there. And they're free. So, like, utilize your public library.
Very cool.
So, yeah. Check out Hawkeye.
I will say, talking through the comic has me more interested in the TV show now.
Yeah. I think they clearly are trying to pull from this comic.
Yep.
I think,
like
it,
you said,
I think it'd be
it's
fun.
It's not going to be verbatim, like an exact issue-by-issue kind of storyline, because it needs to fit into the MCU with some storylines that are already going on. But, mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, certain things, like the tracksuit gang will probably be a part of it. Like, the dog's going to be a part. Like, certain things from this are going to carry over into the show, and it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so highly recommend. I mean, maybe if you just listen to this, this would be enough to get an idea for the show. But if you want, check out the comic and, you know, try to... Like, I read it fairly quickly. It's a quick read. But yeah, check that out, and then check out the show Hawkeye, so... This has been another episode of Comics Unlimited. Let us know if there's anything that you want us to cover or do. Comment below or email. Check the show notes for that info. But yeah, other than that, have a great day.